Again, if you're visiting or you're new with us, I've been preaching a series here that started with a sermon called What Are You Looking At? What Are You Looking At? And really the whole thing is talking about how we perceive what's going on in our lives. Amen. So a couple Sundays ago, I had shared this phrase was what, if you guys can remember it, say it with me as I say it. How you perceive what you receive will frame out what you believe. Amen. So what that means is every one of us, church, because we live in a fallen world, because God in his sovereignty allows Satan to operate, allows the devil to work, allows there to be demons for now, amen, that means that something's going to come at my life at some point, probably every day, that it's not going to feel all that great. Amen. But if I can believe one of the scriptures that most of us can quote, that God works all things together for good for those that love God and are called according to his purpose, right? So if we believe that one, that means that if God's got to work it out for good, that means it's not already good, right? So this is really the kind of the framework of this series we're in. This morning, so far, I'm calling it a different spirit. Everybody say that with me. A different spirit. Amen. And I want to be straight with you guys. I've got like about four messages all grinding away in here. So we're just going to start and see where it goes. How's that sound? Yeah. So we're gonna look at a minute here in the story of the 12 spies that go into the land of Canaan. Amen. And again, there's about three or four different angles on this one. We're going to just see how far we get today. But what I want to share with you guys as we start this thing is I was praying about this week, grinding on it. The Lord said this to me. He says, son, every one of us as human beings, this is just how it came to me, all right? So just hang on. I'll try to explain it a little better. He said to me, son, every one of you has 12 spies inside you. I said the same thing. I was like, okay. That's probably the strangest thing I've heard in a long time from the Holy Spirit, right? So now the 12 spies, if you don't know the story, this is they get to the edge of the promised land. God tells Moses to pick one guy, a leader from every tribe. There's 12 tribes, right? 12 spies go in. They spend 40 days spying out the land. They come back. They've got a cluster of grapes that's so big they've got to carry it on a pole between two guys. One cluster, right? So fruitful. This land's amazing. Flowing milk and honey, all this stuff. And it says that they give out an evil report, right? We most of us know this story. 10 of these 12 spies give a report. They say, the land's good. It's fruitful. It's cool. Man, there's great stuff there. But the cities are big. There's giants there. Da, 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 da. And their conclusion is we've become like grasshoppers in our sight and also in their sight, right? So 10 of these spies give this evil report, but then Caleb, we know the story, Caleb rises up in Numbers 13, verse 30, and says this. It says, Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said this, we should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we will surely overcome it. Amen. So if you're familiar at all with Caleb, church, Caleb is the guy that's described later on in the Bible as having a different spirit. Right? He's the only guy. I looked it up. He's the only guy in the entire Old Testament that's described like that. Similar to how David is described, the only guy is described as a man after God's own heart. Caleb is the only man in the entire Old Testament that God says he's got a different spirit. Right? So there's something unique about Caleb. Amen. So let me go back to this 12 spies. Everybody's got 12 spies inside you. All right. Please, if this sounds really weird, come back next Sunday. It'll get better. All right. I promise. So this is what, as I was praying about this, this is what the Lord says to me. He says, son, there's going to be things I'm going to give you, things I'm going to call you to, things I'm going to give you visions. I'm going to give you dreams. I'm going to give you missions. I'm going to say, look, this is yours. Go get it. But as we've been talking about for several weeks, when God gives us something, he never gives us something that's just empty, right? The promised land had Canaanites and Amalekites and all these ites in it, right? There was like 7 or 8 different groups of folks living in this land. God says, if I clear the land out and make it empty before you're ready to get it, all this other stuff's going to come into this land and fill it up. He goes, I'm going to clear the land out little by little as you become fruitful, right? Why won't God move this thing out of the way? Because you're not fruitful enough to go get it yet. That's what he says, right? As you become fruitful, I'll move the people out of the way. So what's delaying, sometimes, church, what's delaying an answer to my prayer? Have I become the person that I need to become to grab onto what I'm praying for God to give me? Right? Have I become mature enough? Have I become strong enough? Have I become whatever I need to become? Can I get amen? Right? We get saved and then we keep getting saved every day, right? Every day we got to grow a little bit in the Lord. Can I get amen? So here's what the Lord's telling me with this 12 spies thing. I'm like, okay, so God's going to tell us something. He's going to give you something to do. And he says, but son, for the rest of your life, there's always going to be these voices telling you you're not going to make it. You're not good enough. You're not strong enough. You didn't go to Bible school. You didn't do this. You didn't, right, whatever. It could be, it doesn't have to be church. Can I get amen? It could be, you could be praying about something, a promotion at work. Oh, you're not qualified. You're not this. You're not that. Na 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 na. Right? As I started thinking about this, I started like Sanballat and Tobiah. I mean, that's what they're saying to Nehemiah. You're not gonna make it. This is, you should just quit. You should just this. You should just that. And here's the thing, church. I think most of us in here, I'm just going to be real straight with you, all right? Most of us in here, when we feel that stuff coming against us, most of us are not going to say, I don't want to be a Christian anymore. Can I get amen? You know, we're going to say, myself included, it's not worth the cost to go after the deep things. I'm just going to go through the motions because that's what everybody else does. Right? Church, I fight that stuff all the time. Man, I got to fight. Can I get an amen from anybody that's ever gone deep with God? Right? You want to go deep and everybody else around you, you're like, what's wrong with y'all? Right? And that gets discouraging because you're like, doesn't anybody want to? Right? Can I get an amen? Most of us, church, we know enough or we would never say, I'm done with Jesus. Right? But we get discouraged to go after the deep stuff. Right? Here's Caleb, man. These people are not like, the Israelites are not like, hey, we're done with God. They're just like, we're not willing to pay the price to go get the promise. Right? Church, getting delivered from Egypt is free. The promise is going to cost you something. Right? We have become a church culture in America. Talk to most churches about paying for something in the kingdom. They look at you like you got 4 heads, man. Can I get amen? They don't want to hear nothing about this stuff, right? What David, a man after God's own heart, the second time he sins, I'm already off my notes, just hang on, all right? The second time he sins is he takes a census of his people, right? He sees how big his army is. You ever wonder why God's so mad about that? I'll tell you why, okay? Because David, we don't know how old he is right there, but he's been walking with God for a long time, decades, church, all right? God has delivered David time and time and time, dozens and dozens of times. Right? When David's just a boy, he takes Goliath down, right, church? You ever know that one, right? But you know what David says when he goes up to the front line and everybody's like, who are you think you are? You're going to take this giant down? You're just a boy. You know what David says? He says, you know what? Okay, yeah, maybe I'm just a boy, but I took care of my father's sheep. And when a lion showed up, the lion picked up the sheep in his mouth. He says, I chased down that lion. I grabbed it by the scruff of its chin and I killed it. And then a bear showed up, and he took another sheep, and I chased the bear down, and I grabbed church picture. This is exactly how the Bible says it. David is a boy. He's like the teenager, man. We just had teenagers up here. Could you imagine one of these guys grabbing a bear by the scruff of the chin? That's what the Bible, David wasn't like, oh, this bear's going to get me, and he just throws the spear up, and the bear like impales itself. David says, I grabbed this thing by the scruff of the chin and killed it. And he says, this uncircumcised Philistine is going to be just like the lion and the bear. Right? So here's David, man. I was trying to make sure I didn't lose track of where I was going with that. Praise God. David is at the end of his life, right? He's been king for decades now, and he says, I'm going to decide to see how big my army is. God's like, bro, how many times have I delivered you? It didn't matter if you were by yourself. It didn't matter if you had 600 guys with you. It didn't matter if you had a whole army with you. I've delivered you so many times, you didn't need nobody, and all of a sudden, you're going to see how strong you are all by yourself. Right? That's why God's so angry right there, church. Can I get amen? And we know that if you know this story well, right, he says, let me fall in the hands of the Lord. And the Lord, an angel comes down and smites 70,000 people, kills 70,000 people, boom, like this. So David says, I want to build an altar to the Lord and sacrifice and repent. He goes and finds, I forget this guy's name, but he finds this guy with a field and he says, let me build an altar here. The guy says, you're the king. I'll give you the field. And David says this. Here's my point. David says, I will offer nothing to the Lord that doesn't cost me something. Church, David, in that culture, he could have taken the land from that guy. And nobody would have even said nothing to him. But he's more interested in how he stands before that king than any king down here. Is that right? Is this making sense? So every one of us, church, we're going to have these voices, all right? These voices are going to come, whether they're voices inside of us, whether they're voices from outside of us. Come on. Anybody ever have something that God gives you that you just know God spoke to your heart? You know it, and it's stirring in your spirit, and you're excited about your passion. And then you find, this is the worst one, man. You find a brother or sister, and you say, man, let me tell you what God told me. And they look at you like, man, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard in my life. Dude. Come on. And again, I don't, let's take it outside church. I don't want to get real churchy, right? You could have a dream as a, how many of us have been teenagers, right? And we get some dream in our heart and we go even tell our parents, hey, I'm going to be, my thing was I was going to be a basketball player. No, like make money doing it. Not just hustle folks at the church picnic. Right? I hustled cows one time a few years ago. There was no money in it, but I still got them, though, you know. Right. So can I get amen, church? But wait, our kids would go, oh, I'm going to be a fireman, daddy. And, you know, we go, okay, whatever, right? But do you think about that? Imagine, what does that little kid hear when we say that, even at 5 or 6 years old, right? Something that that's in their heart, they want to do it, right? And his parents would go, okay, what, you know, whatever. And it's like that, right? So voices, man, voices. Right. Sometimes it's the voice of our past because we've messed up in our heads. We've messed up too many times. Right. And man, I said a couple of Sundays ago, if we understood the mercy of God, if we ever caught a glimpse of it, of what the mercy of God is really like, the mercies of God are new every morning. Doesn't matter what I did yesterday. I didn't use up too much mercy yesterday to have the same amount of mercy today as I had yesterday morning. Right? Now, it's not licensed to do whatever we want, church. There's another problem we're facing in our culture, right? Folks do act however they want to. That's not what that means. It means that when I'm going after God and I stumble and I fall, he says, all right, I'll pick you up, dust you off, keep going. Can I get amen? Voices. But then the Lord says to me this. He says, but son, there's another voice that's in your heart. Right? Most of us believe, I think this is true, that Old Testament characters did not have the Holy Spirit living in them. Right? Because they couldn't be clean. Right? It's only the blood of Jesus that makes us clean inside and out, right? So that I'm a clean vessel before the Lord. The old covenant, they'd kill bulls and goats and stuff. It was just to appease the wrath of God, right? The Bible tells us it didn't do anything for the conscience of man, right? There's still sinners back there. But there's something different about Caleb, and he's got something unique. Only guy in the whole Old Testament that's got this different spirit, man. And here's how it's described. It says, Caleb followed God fully. He's also the only man in the Old Testament to be described that way. Not even David is described like that. Caleb is described as like three or four times in the story as a man that followed God fully. Can I get an amen? So here's what God's telling us. He says there's these 10 voices. Maybe there's more, maybe there's less. But there's going to be more voices telling you you're not going to make it than there is telling you you're going to make it. Right? But the voice that's telling you you're going to make it is the important one. Right? That's the voice of Caleb. It's that different spirit, right? It's the Spirit of God in us saying, look. And what's interesting in the story, church, is Caleb doesn't deny any of the obstacles that these other 10 spies described. Caleb's like, no, guys, the city's not really that big. That dude's not that big, all right? Caleb's like, look, I don't care how big that guy is, right? This is, God says this is our land. God says he's going to give this whole land to us. This is for us, for our descendants, for our kids, for our grandkids. Let's go get this stuff. Can I get an amen? It's pretty much like this, church. You ever hear this saying, the bigger they are, the harder they fall? Caleb's like, I don't care how big that thing is. I can't wait to see God take it down. Right? And church, I'm telling you, God is stirring my heart back into this place. Oh, we need $1 million. Okay. So what? Now, I can tell some of your faces are like, oh, that's a lot of money. Well, to me it is, okay, but to God it ain't. Seriously, church, right? You know how many folks within 5 miles of this church could cut us a check for $1 million and they wouldn't even think twice about it? They probably got $1 million in their wallet. They just got like, you know, $100,000 bills or something. I don't know, right? I don't know how you fit that in your pocket, but can I get an amen? Right? Look at the Bible says the wealth of the heathen is stored up for the righteous. Can I get amen? What's the only thing holding that provision back for the ministry is, do I believe God's going to give it to me? I got all these voices telling me, that's stupid, that's never going to work, da 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 da. Or I got that one voice says, do you believe what I said? Y'all tracking? Is this all right? All right, I got one more other thing. We got to lay just one more little piece of groundwork. I'm like two-thirds of the way through my notes, and we're going to this is a mess. All right, it's off the rails. Just hang on. Judges chapter 6. This is, you don't, just write it down. It's important, all right? This is about Gideon, and I want to read just 3 verses here and show us something that's very, very important about this point, amen? So this is Gideon gets called. I think we all know the story. He's the guy that throws the fleeces out, right? We all know Gideon, right? He's the guy who goes from 32,000 to 300 in like an hour, and then God tells him, go, you know, now you're ready, right? All that whole story. But you know, church, before he even does the fleece thing, right? This is before he does the fleece thing. God calls him. He makes a meal for this angel. The angel touches it with a staff. It, boom, it puffs up in smoke like a magic trick. And Gideon's like, whoa, this is the Lord, right? And so before he actually tests anything else, the Lord tells him, you know, anyone know this? You guys know this story, right? God tells him, go get your father's bull and a second bull and go and tear down the altar of Baal and rebuild an altar to me. The building like that, apparently. Right? And as I was reading this last night, the Lord reminded me of a prayer meeting about 3 years ago. We were building this right here. We were in this over here praying one night, and the Lord spoke to me. Guys, you were there, bro. Remember this? Clear as I'm talking to you, the Lord said to me, son, you're repairing the altar that's been broken down. So church, Gideon is so scared of the people that he does it at night. But he tears down this altar of Baal and rebuilds the altar to the Lord, sacrifices his father's bulls. Here's the point. The reason the Midianites are able to overpower Israel is because of the altar of Baal that they built. They're the ones that built the altar that was giving the enemy power over them. If you're not catching it, there may be things that you built in your life that is giving the enemy power over you. Right? You could have, it could be something that somebody did to you that you just can't let go of. And you hang on to it. You got bitterness in your heart about it. You know, you smile all the time until somebody says just the right thing, and boom, it hits that spot that you're trying to hide from everybody, right? Can I get amen, church? You built that. That person that hurt you didn't build that. You did. And because you won't tear that altar of Baal down, the enemy's got power over your life. You built it. Amen. Here's what the Lord said to me. This is years ago. I was reading this story in Bible school. The Lord showed me this. He says, son, you know what the first thing you got to get straight? If the enemy's messing with you, the first thing you got to check out is your worship pure? What are you worshiping? Right? The altar represents worship. Right? Worship, church, is not about singing songs, man. You do a word study on the word worship in the Bible, right? You will never find the word worship associated with music in the Bible, not one single time. Praise is always associated with music, right? Praise, right? But worship, church, is associated with obedience, sacrifice, amen. It's associated, I mean, the first time the word worship is used in the Bible is Abraham when he's taking Isaac. He says, me and the lad are going to go up to this mountain and worship. It's not Hillsong DVDs that they're watching up on top of the mountain, everybody. Can I get amen? All right. Abraham, all God has told Abraham is go kill your son. That's it. That's all Abraham's heard. We're going to go worship. We're going to go be obedient to what God said. Right? Can I get amen? So here's the thing. The word worship, this is all going to tie in, church, all right? By God's grace. If it doesn't tie in, then blame God for it. All right? It's his fault. I'm kidding. Don't do that. The word worship, if you look at it in the Hebrew word used for worship, means this, to bow down. To bow down, right? Also means to prostrate oneself, right? Prostrate means face down on the floor, right? Anybody ever been in a worship service where that's the only appropriate thing to do? Yeah, those are good ones. Amen. I wish we had more of those. Can I get it right? Where you're like, yikes, I need to hide under something because God's here. Right? To bow down. Right? So, if the altar of Baal, with the story of Gideon, what they're doing is that they have decided to bow down to this god of their own, right? This god made out of wood or stone or whatever it is, rather than bow down to the Lord. Can I get amen? It's an act of surrender, right? Do you see what I'm saying, church? Back to our 12 spies, right? These voices, right? The New Testament concept is like this. Whoever you submit yourself to as a slave will become your master. Whatever you bow down to, whatever you worship, will become your master. Right? Whatever you listen to will become your master. Right? So if I listen to all these voices chattering in my ear that I'm not going to make it, that thing's never going to work out, you're never going to have enough money, that kid's never coming home, that marriage is never going to fix, you know, never going to work out, that job's never coming, boom, 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 and I listen to that long enough, you know what I'm really doing, church? I am worshiping that thing. I'm bowing down to it. I'm surrendering to it. Can I get amen? This is why the Bible says in Paul's writings in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I think it's verse 5, to take every thought captive to the mind of Christ, right? He says that we're tearing down strongholds right there. The Bible, you know, the only stronghold only shows up one time in the entire New Testament. It's right there. And stronghold is talking about what is bouncing around in my brain, right? How a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. But if I can hear that little whisper in my heart, that still small voice of the Holy Spirit that says, you are gonna make it. You're gonna make it. It's you are gonna overcome this thing. You are gonna get breakthrough. You are gonna beat that illness. You are going to break through. It is going to happen. If I can continue to grab onto that voice and those promises of God, no matter how loud everything else is around me, everything telling me we ain't gonna make it, I wanna bow down to the one that says, I am with you. You're gonna make it. Right? Last Sunday, we talked about Isaiah, amen? When you walk through the waters, they will not overtake you, right? Numbers 14, let's turn there in your Bibles. Praise God, help me, Lord, to get this one. Church, there's such good stuff in here. Man, I was reading this week and said, boy, I've forgotten so much of this story. Y'all there? Numbers 14, verse 1. Say amen when you're there. All right, here we go. Then, everybody say then. So this is right after this evil report from the 10 spies, right? Then all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. All the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, would that we had died in the land of Egypt. Or would that we had died in this wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and our little ones will become plunder. Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? So they said to one another, let us appoint a leader and return to Egypt. That ain't good, y'all. Amen. Verse 5, then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces in the presence of all the assembly of the congregation of the sons of Israel, Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, of those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. And they spoke to all the congregation of the sons of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord is pleased with us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us. Everybody say, give it to us. A land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord and do not fear the people of the land, for they will be our, say it together, prey, right? Their protection has been removed from them and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. But all the congregation said to stone them with stones. Then the glory of the Lord appeared in the tent of meeting to all the sons of Israel. So I was reading this week, that last verse right there, I said, whoa. You know what? There's like pretty much two times that the glory of the Lord shows up. He shows up because he likes what's going on. Or sometimes he shows up because he does not like what's going on. Right? There's another time that Miriam and Aaron are rising up against Moses. They're like, oh, Moses, who you think you are? You know, man, you think you're all that in a bag of chips, you know, whatever. And the glory of the Lord shows up. And you know how he starts that conversation? God looks at Miriam and Aaron and he says, look, I've called you and I've anointed you and Aaron, you're the mouthpiece and you're the guy that's doing all the talking. And Miriam, you're a pretty good worship leader. That's cool. He says, but I don't know what you were thinking rising up against my servant Moses, because I talked to him face to face like a friend. And the Bible says that God strikes Aaron, I think it's Aaron, right, with leprosy. Miriam starts Miriam with leprosy. And you know what's crazy about that story? He tells Moses to pray for her. Moses prays for and the leprosy goes away. Isn't that crazy? So here we have another story, church, of God showing up. And he's not showing up because he's like, yes, you guys are getting it. He's showing up because he's like, this thing is going off the rails in a hurry. And I'm going to get down there and put a stop to it. Amen, right? I want to show you a couple things, though, in this passage, right? Caleb's admonition to the Israelites, there's two things he says. If the Lord is pleased with us, he'll bring us in, right? Don't rebel and don't fear the people. So two things. If the Lord is pleased with us, number two, don't rebel, right? But here, let me ask you this, church. Think about this. Number one, what are the people rebelling against? Because we think, so it's the Old Testament, right? So the first thought typically would be the law, right? That they've somehow violated some kind of legal issue with God or something like that. Can I get an amen, church? But you got to understand where they are in the story. Right here, they're about 6, 7, maybe 8 weeks removed from getting delivered out of Egypt. There is no law. If you really study the law and when the law comes, the issue really is this. God says this every single time. When you get to the land I'm going to give you, be sure that you do this. When you get to the land I'm going to give you, be sure that you do this. When you get to the land I'm going to give you, be sure you do that, right? God, here's the thing, church. God does not impart law to the people until after they get to a land of rest. Let me modernize that just a little bit. What does that mean today? Here's what it means, all right? God, look, we're so hung up in church about telling folks, you need to get your life straight. You need to get your life straight. You need to stop doing that. You need to stop smoking. You need to stop drinking. Stop doing this. Okay, all that stuff is true for sure. Can I get amen? Folks should stop smoking and drinking and doing whatever else they do. But the issue is, church, is that unless that person understands the rest of God in their soul, trying to get them to stop doing something is you might as well just hit your face with a hammer. Can I get amen from anybody that's ever tried helping somebody, right? God says, you need to get to the promised land first, man. You need to get something straight in here because it's out of here is where all that junk comes from, right? So if I try to impose righteousness from the outside in, I'm just going to blow it off again, right? Because it's like trying to press down feelings. Is anybody a presser downer in here? Can I get amen? How well does that work? Not very good, does it, right? We press down for so long, and then boom, it blows up. And everybody's like, what's wrong with you, bro? You're crazy. Right? The same thing happens, church. When we try to just press sin down, you're going to press it down for so long, and then boom. You got to get the root right and the fruit will be good. Is that good? Yeah? So what are they rebelling against? Think about this. If there's no law, then what are they? This is the word Caleb uses. Don't rebel against the Lord. The rebellion is simply this, church. Do you believe what God said? Do you believe what God said? Yes or no? Do you see it, church? This, if you catch this, it's so powerful, man. See, what we think to do is rebellion. Oh, no, how did I sin? Did I do this? Okay, look, if God is looking at these people and say, I'm going to bring you into this land of promise, not because of your own righteousness, right? It's got nothing to do with that. The way to get into the promised land is, do you believe that God is going to give it to you? That's it, man. Staying in the promised land, that's on me. Can I get amen? Once I'm in, there's stuff I got to do to stay in there. But to get in, it's not about how good I am or I'm not. Right? You just see it. Number two. They said, right, Caleb and Joshua and Moses and Aaron said to the people, if the Lord is, everybody say, pleased with us. They did not say, if the Lord loves us. Right? They said, if he's pleased with us. We're going to go after something else that's just wrecking the church in America. All right, church, you ready? Buck your seatbelt. I know, Iris, you said, girl, up here that like God's love is unconditional. I just got to correct you just a little bit. You know, the Bible does not say anywhere that God's love is unconditional. Not in the Bible, church. God loves everybody. Can I get amen? God so loves the world that he sent his only begotten son. Can I get amen? Right? So We don't, what I'm not saying that God loves or hates humans. Do you understand what I'm saying? But the concept of unconditional love, like I can do what, unconditional love means I can do whatever I want and I'm still going to receive good things. That is not what the Bible says. Not even in the New Testament. Can I get amen, church? Here's what Jesus says. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Well, church, if that statement starts with an if, that means it is conditional. If you take the trash out, you can take the car to the movies on Friday. Boy, I can feel the resistance in this room right now. Especially from the teenagers, like, oh, you hit the trash thing. Come on. All right, one preacher says it like this. Now I'm gonna forget how he says it. Obedience is not how we earn God's love, it's how we experience it. You can't earn it, it's there. Do you understand? But Jesus himself teaches that unless I am doing what God wants me to do, I will not experience. I'm not going to abide in that love. Do you understand? Right? If you own a house or you got an apartment, whatever you got, you don't visit, you abide there. That's where you live, right? I want to live there. It means I need to do what God's telling me to do. Is that right? Guided by the scriptures, guided by some counsel would be probably good. Can I get amen? Yeah? So think about this, church. Caleb says to the people, if God is pleased with us, nothing to do with whether he loves us or not, does God look at us and say, I'm happy with what you're doing? I like that. It's good. Can I get amen? We've already established a moment ago that it's got nothing to do with the Ten Commandments. It's got nothing to do with any of these weird laws about, you know, don't eat this, don't eat that. None of those laws apply yet. Can I get amen? So what is it that God's looking at saying, I like that. I'm happy. Yes, I'm attracted to that, right? Well, the New Testament says this. Without faith, it is impossible to what? Please God. All right. So now let's make sure this doesn't get spooky at all, church. I'm telling you the truth right now. This is, if you don't hear one thing today, hear this. Faith, if you study the word faith, we've written, there's thousands of books about faith, all kinds of weird stuff, church. Faith, if you look at the words, break it all the way down, it means confidence. That's all it means. I am confident that God is going to do what he said he's going to do. I don't care what comes against me. I don't care what's pushing me backwards. I don't care what's trying to blow me sideways. I don't care what's trying to take my health away from me. I don't care what's trying to mess with my family. I don't care what's trying to mess with my ministry. I don't care what's trying to mess with what's with anything going on in my life. God said that I'm going to give you that, and I am not quitting until I get what God told me I'm going to get. Right? Simple as that. Simple as that. Let me borrow your Bible, bro. Guys, we're going totally off the rails now, all right? Stay right in Numbers 14. Are y'all okay? All right. Put your Holy Ghost on right now. You got to catch this one, all right? I'm going to read the rest of this chapter, and I'm going to make one more. Man, if you guys catch this, it's going to be awesome by God's grace. Verse 11, the Lord said to Moses, how long will this people spurn me? And how long will they not believe in me? Church, it's not about, you know, how many commandments can I keep just perfect? Stop it. Can I get amen? Do you believe what God said? How long will they not believe in me despite all the signs which I performed in their midst? I will smite them with pestilence and dispossess them, and I will make you, who's he talking to? Moses, I'm going to make you into a nation greater and mightier than they. Now, I was reading this the other day, church, and I paused right there. I thought the Holy Spirit said, just stop. He says, now imagine being Moses right there. You have been with these crazy folks for like 3 months. They complain nonstop. All right, it doesn't matter what happens, man. All right, these are the people, church, that watched 10 plagues in Egypt, right? Don't watch The Prince of Egypt, because in that movie, when they come out of Egypt, they're all broke down. Oh, we're just going to break here. The Bible says that they plundered Egypt. All right? They weren't walking out all broke down. They were driving Rolls Royces out of Egypt, bro. All right? whatever the Pharaoh's got in his garage, I'm taking it. All right? Church, they got clothes, gold, silver. I mean, they were loaded, man. They came out of Egypt. They were like, man, let's buy a yacht or something. All right? I mean, they were not broke down, church. Right? Then they come out. They've got a pillar of cloud by day, a pillar of fire by night. They follow this thing around, all right? They get 3 days out. The Pharaoh says, what am I thinking? He sends the army out. The army comes, traps them against the Red Sea. The fire now goes behind them, makes a wall between them and Egypt. They're still going, we're still going to die. Ah, freaking out, right? Moses steps into the Red Sea, puts a staff in it. Boom, the sea splits in half. They walk through an ocean, church, on dry ground. Watch the movie for that one. It's a good visual, right? There's walls of water. There's sharks. This guy's like, there's a shark right there, bro. I don't even know what's going on, right? It's crazy. Can I get amen? Just imagine this, church, all right? Read your Bible with a little bit of imagination. Can I get amen? The Bible's so boring. It's because you're not reading it good. Amen? Right? They get through on the other side. They're like, this is awesome. They turn around. Here comes Pharaoh and his army. They freak out again. Moses just waves his staff back over the water. Boom, the water crashes in Egypt, destroys the entire army. They're dancing, have a worship service. It lasts 3 days because they're a train wreck. Now they're complaining because they're hungry. Oh, we're so hungry. Give us something to eat. 3 days, that's about how far they make it. Complain, 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 complain. Anybody feel convicted yet? We like to complain, don't we? Man, don't matter what God does. It lasts about 5 minutes and we're complaining about something else, right? God answers prayer, complaint after complaint, right? Little Pop-Tarts start showing up every morning. The dew dries up and there's Pop-Tarts outside their tent like room service, right? And then they get sick of Pop-Tarts, so they're like, we want some meat. And so here comes Stop and Shop rotisserie chickens flapping down, already fried up. You know, they catch all these chickens, man. They're eating chickens every night. They're pretty good, though, man. Those chickens are decent, right? Right? Then they're like, oh, we're going to die, right? There's no water. And so now there's a rock that follows them around with water comes out. Did that rock move? Dude, crazy. Church, a rock. It's not a metaphor. A rock was following them through the wilderness with water coming out of it. Church, come on, man. When they turn from God, when they turn and say, God's not going to bring us into this land, the pillar of cloud is still right there. They are literally weeks removed from walking through an ocean on dry ground. Weeks. Yeah, God split an ocean in half, but I'm not sure about taking down that 7-foot guy. Yeah. What? Dude, are you kidding me? Do you see this, church? So here's Moses. All right, where's my point? Imagine being Moses right now. He's like, you know what? You're going to start over with me, and it's going to be better this time? Probably shouldn't do that. Come on, church. Let's be real, man. If you're Moses right there, you'd be like, let's do it. Okay, just kill them all. I'm done, man. I'm done. I don't know what I'm supposed to do with these people. They're crazy. Right? Can I get amen? Right? Let's keep reading. Moses says to the Lord, then the Egyptians will hear of it. For by your strength you brought up this people from their midst, and they, the Egyptians, will tell it to the inhabitants of this land, to the Canaanites and the Jebusites and all these ites, right? They have heard, all these people, the Canaanites, they have heard that you, O Lord, are in the midst of this people, for you, O Lord, are seen eye to eye While your cloud stands over them, and you go before them in a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, now if you slay this people, say this church, as one man. Right, that's important. Then the nations who have heard of your fame will say, because the Lord could not bring his people into the land which he promised them by oath, therefore he slaughtered them in the wilderness. All right? As one man. Hang on to that, church. Because you know what God tells Gideon about defeating the Midianites? You'll defeat the Midianites as one man. Same phrase, right? So Moses is talking to God, and God says, I'm going to wipe them all. I'm going to kill them all. Because of these 10 spies. Because of what these 10 spies have done, I'm going to kill everybody. Men, women, children, wipe them out. Right? Hang on to this, church. It's going to be so good if you catch this. Y'all okay? Look at what Moses prays now. But now I pray, let the, what's the word, church? Say it with me. Power of the Lord be great, just as you have declared. Now Moses is quoting God's word back to him. The Lord is slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, forgiving iniquity and transgression. But, ever say but? But he will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generations. All right, so let me pause right here. We all know this one, right? This one makes us a little, we get a little skittish about this, don't we, church, right? You know, and we talk about generational curses in the church today. Church, I'm telling you, if you've got a New Testament church like we all are, right, and somebody, if you've got a preacher telling you that generational curses work today, they're lying to you. That is not true. If you're not saved, good luck, all right? But if you're saved, the Bible tells us through the prophet Jeremiah, he says this, no longer, he's prophesying about Jesus coming, he says, no longer will this phrase be used, be heard in the earth, that the father eats sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. He says, but every man will die for his own sin. If the father sins, he'll die. If the son sins, he'll die. Right? So this whole thing about, oh, my dad was an alcoholic and my granddad was an alcoholic and my hair, hair. Are you saved? Yes. Well, then none of that stuff matters. I got generations of failed marriages, you know, for 16 generations. Are you saved? Yes. Then it doesn't matter. Come on, church. You're responsible for what you do. That's what the Bible says. Amen? So this is what Moses is talking to God. But look at the next verse. Pardon, I pray, the iniquity of this people according to the what? Greatness of your loving kindness, just as you also have forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. You guys ready? Man, God help me get this. Egypt is a metaphor for sin. It's the world, right? They're delivered. You get delivered out of Egypt, you get saved. That's what it means. Can I get amen? And so what we see here is a progression of growth, right? They should have grown in this 6 or 8 weeks. Really what should have happened by the time they get to the promised land is all the Egypt should have been out of their brain by then. Can I get amen? What do they say? We want to go back to Egypt. That's what got so angry about it, right? Church, how many times have we thought about that? Ah, this Christian thing ain't working. I'm just going to go back, right? Again, I'm not done with Jesus. I'll still come to church. I'll still throw some cash in the basket. But this righteous living thing just ain't for me. Right? I don't really want to go deep with God. All right? Look at what Moses is telling God. Don't do it. So the Lord, verse 20, said, I have pardoned them according to your word, but indeed as I live, all the earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord. What a strange answer from God. I pardoned you, but all the earth will be filled with the glory of God. Anybody ever read this story, or is this the first time some of you heard this one? You know what God's saying? This is why, he says, catch this, church. Why did God want Israel to go into the promised land? He says, because that's how I was going to show the world my glory. I want to use you to show them who I am. And because you were too afraid, now I can't show them my glory through you. There's the rebellion. Every time God calls us to do something and it looks scary to us, I've got to decide, is God, did God tell me this? I'm going to step in. Because you know what, church? When I step into that thing that looks scary, that looks impossible, and I come through the other side, not smelling like smoke, I come through the other side and I'm all right. God's saying, look, I'm releasing some glory on the earth through you, through your obedience, through your act of faith, through you standing through that thing, through you making it through it. I'm releasing glory in you. Church, look at this. God could rip the sky open and pour glory out all by himself. But he won't do it. He says, I'm going to use you. And how I'm going to do it is I'm going to box you into a situation that is completely impossible. There's no way out, and then I'm going to make a way out. And everybody's going to know it was me. There's no way you would have got out of that. Do you see it, church? Can you guys give me 5 more minutes? All right. Chick-fil-A is closed. We established that last Sunday. So, stay awake, all right? Turn the ACs up. Just keep them awake for a couple more minutes. Surely, look what God says, verse 22, almost done, guys, almost done, all right? Hang on. Surely all the men who have seen my glory and my signs which I performed in Egypt and in the wilderness yet have put me to the test these 10 times that have not listened to my voice, not done what, church? Listen to his voice, shall by no means see the land which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who spurned me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he's had a different spirit and has what? Followed me fully. I'll bring him to the land which he entered, and his descendants shall take possession of it. Now, the Amalekites and the Canaanites live in the valleys. So let's skip down a little bit just for the point of this message, right? Verse 28. Say to them, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will surely do to you. Your corpses will fall in this wilderness, even all your numbered men, according to your complete number, from 20 years old and upward, who have grumbled against me. Surely you shall not come into the land in which I swore to settle you, except Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. Your children, however, whom you said would become a prey, I will bring them in, and they will know the land which you have rejected. Now, let me tie this together. Just give me like 26 minutes. I promise it'll be definitely done. Back up. What does God say he's going to do? I'm killing everybody. Right? Not just 20 years old and up. I'm killing them all. Right? Because I am the Lord who visits the iniquity of the fathers onto the third and fourth generations. You have iniquity, you've sinned, it trickles down. Everybody's guilty. Moses comes back and says, Lord, let your power be great and don't do it. Don't kill everybody just because of their sin. Right? God's like, man, that's a good idea. Perfect. I don't know, I didn't think about that. Right? But God says, but I can't leave this sin unpunished. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to make you wander for 40 years until this unbelieving generation is weeded out of the mix, right? I'm going to weed this thing out, and everybody else is going to go in. Right, church? You see what I'm saying? Back to our 12 spies in our hearts, right? Inside of us, these voices we deal with, right? This is what the Lord said to me, tying it up right here. He said, son, look, when you listen to the wrong voice and you fail, you blow it, you back away, you turn away from God, and you say, okay, God, I'm not doing that. I can't do it. Da, 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 da. What have we done according to the Bible? We have done what? We have rebelled against the Lord. Can I get amen, right? It's not about, oh, geez, did I do the right thing? You know, like law, right and wrong. Can I get amen? It's about faith. Did I step out in faith or did I shrink back in fear? This is what God sees as rebellion, church. I shrink back in fear. Do you see it? Right? And this is what God said to me. We tend to think, this is the lie we accept in our hearts, because I listened to those 10 spies one too many times, God's going to wipe me off the planet. He's done with me. He's writing you off. You're not going to make it, buddy. He's going to destroy my entire nation. Do you see what I'm saying, church? Are you following this? Right? But Moses cries out, no, God, don't destroy the whole thing just because there's a little bit of sin in it. He says, instead of dropping a nuclear bomb on the thing and blowing it up, just perform some surgery in the heart. Get those 10 spies out. Move those negative voices out of the way so that the one voice that's saying, let's go, let's do it, we can do it, that's the only voice that's left over, church. Can I get amen? You know what the Bible says the Holy Spirit's going to do in your heart? Convict you of sin. What is the sin of the world? It says it right in Paul's writing is that they don't believe God. As we start resisting the work of the Holy Spirit, you know what we're resisting? We're resisting God moving all the stuff that's keeping us back out of the way. He says, man, I want the only voice you're listening to is that different spirit. You can do it. You can make it. You're going to overcome it. You're going to break through. Amen, church? Let's stand up to our feet. Thank you for hanging on a little bit longer today. Did that make sense, everybody? You should listen again. I'm going to listen to it again. Amen. Got probably one more message out of here next week. Maybe. We'll see how it goes. Father, in Jesus' name, we come right now. And Lord, I just want to prophetically declare something over you this morning, this afternoon. I don't even know what time it is. Who cares? Father, that this day, right here, as a church, as families, as individuals, as households, we're drawing a line in the sand. And Lord, we're done listening to those 10 spies. We're done looking over the fence at the promises you want to give us, say, boy, that looks so good, but I just can't make it. Lord, we want to be like Caleb, God. We want to be the one that says we're well able. I don't care how big that mountain is between where I'm at and where God told me I'm going. I'm going there. That's what God told me I'm going to get, and I'm going to get it. I don't care if it takes me 2 years, 5 years, 20, it don't matter. I'm getting what God told me I'm going to get. I'm getting that healing. I'm getting that financial breakthrough. I'm getting that relationship restored. I'm getting that ministry promise. I'm getting that promise of a new job. Whatever that promise is, church, we've all got promises from God. Amen. We all know the Lord has told us something. I am going to get what God promised me. I'm going to do it. In Jesus' name we pray, Father. Come on, if you receive that, just raise your hands and just tell the Lord in your heart, I'm done listening to those 10 spies. I'm done. I'm done listening to those 10 spies. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. Have an awesome week. We will see you all. Worship team, practice on Tuesday and prayer on Wednesday. Have an awesome week, you guys. Amen.